Delicious Food.
We know it.
Ian Huey Hewitson.
God, I interrupted the intro. My God, no. Hello, Ian Hewitson.
G'day, mate.
How are you?
Good.
That is good. We always look forward to a Tuesday afternoon when we speak to Ian Hewitson. And today, you've got some interesting things. You've always got interesting things to talk about. But today, some of these are great ideas that people have put together. And for that young bloke, obviously he made a truckload of money out of his idea.
We love that. And actually, I've got a title for today's chat. Yes, it is still possible to make a buck in hospitality. Just don't open a bloody restaurant.
Yeah, ain't that the truth, though? It is, absolutely. Yeah. And try to see if you can run it from your home. Like, you know, literally, I don't know, Dimmy obviously had, you know, offices and staff. But
I think at the beginning, I think he said that he nearly had a nervous breakdown and he mortgages his parents' home.
Right.
I mean, the thing about it is, you know, many restaurants and cafes are really struggling at the moment. We know that. And a lot of them are really going to the wall. So you have to admire somebody who comes up with a new idea and can make money out of the hospitality industry.
That's
and, I mean, of course, the logical one to think of is, you know, we've spoken about often about home delivery services such as Uber and Deliveroo, which has been a huge success story and certainly take a whack out of the restaurant business. I mean, it really has. It's left a lot of restaurants fairly empty, yet their kitchens are still quite busy, you know, churning out food for Uber and Deliveroo.
But as you say, what is the lifespan of those type of services?
Well, yeah, you have to look at it. I mean, the other thing that's been successful is things like Marley Spoon, you know, which is that home delivery produce thing, and they give you recipes for it. A mate of mine, actually, who has bemoaned the lack of BYO restaurants, you know, which used to be a huge thing, particularly in Victoria, because he's got a great cellar, says he uses both services because he's got this great cellar and he wants to drink the odd good wine before he dies.
I've got to say,
there is a reasoning behind it, I suppose.
Marley Spoon? I have not heard of a Marley Spoon. What's this all about, Marley Spoon?
Well, they actually deliver produce to you, but with a recipe. So they deliver what is entailed in the recipe. So you get the recipe and you get produce. I don't know whether... I didn't realise. Maybe it's just a Victorian thing at the moment, or
maybe
Victorian and New South Wales.
I'm just thinking, can't you go to the supermarket? Have we got
well,
a
Well, that's, no. Look, I'm a bit like that. But, I mean, it's actually interesting because according to Morgan Stanley Research, growth in May in the online takeaway food sector grew by a mere 4% compared to up to 56% a couple of years ago.
Right.
So we are seeing a bit of a change here. And I mean, I'm with you. You know, the food in these things is not up to the standard of going to your local market and maybe just ripping a recipe off the internet from Jamie or something like that. And it really isn't. And I also think it's not as much fun as going to your favourite restaurant or cafe. Well, I don't think it is.
No, I agree. If you've got a couple of kids that you've got to get to bed and all those sort of things, and you've got so many other things that you've got to do, you know, it might be a bit difficult to cook up a meal every night of the week, and that's where these services, I'm not suggesting the delivery services, but I mean, you know, the fact that you can go somewhere. I'm just thinking of a you wouldn't call it a supermarket. It's a Harris Farm Markets type of thing. And there's a new one in Newcastle, which has been open probably now about 6-7 months.
Yep.
And you go there, and look, honestly, the shelves are just full of these pre-prepared meals.
Yeah.
And I have bought a couple of them, and they're okay. They're all right. But you wouldn't have them on a regular basis.
Okay is the key word.
That is true.
And it really is. I mean, actually, leading Melbourne restaurateur Scott Pickett, and he said it was similar to when digital TVs were first released. Everyone went mad on them and they said, oh, the cinema's going to disappear. But people got tired of sitting at home and watching the television, eating out of a box.
Yeah, true.
You know, half the fun of going to the cinema was going and having, you know, something in the local cafe beforehand, or even, you know, Gold Class. The food's not bad in those places. So I think it has changed. My father-in-law, George, commented recently when we went out for dinner to a place that we often get takeaway. You know, it's a good Asian restaurant, and the takeaway is always pretty good. But when we went to the restaurant itself, he said the food is so much better here than what we get at home. You know, so
yeah,
I feel, you know, it's just, Well, it's just sitting around and waiting for Uber to turn up. And I know when we had the diner, you know, it was a nightmare. You know, trying to time it so that it was perfectly ready when the driver turned up, because they didn't ever turn up on time. You know, they said, "Oh, we'll be there in 20 minutes," and you know, half an hour later, you're still waiting for them. So it's never going to be as good.
I think it's the other thing also in the wine industry. They say that wine never tastes better than when you're tasting it at cellar door.
Yeah.
You know, because of all the experiences that go with the cellar door tasting.
Yeah, I know, it's the old story. It's, you know, like a Beaujolais Nouveau, which is the new Beaujolais. It never tastes much good outside Beaujolais. And I just think it's a mental thing, isn't it?
It is.
With the wine. With food's a bit different because lots of it doesn't take to heating up. I mean, fine if it's a curry or something, you know, you've ordered from India and then you have a curry and you can throw that in the microwave and it's fine, but most of the other food should be eaten kaboom. But anyway, now that we've given the flick to all those home delivery ideas, this, what about the other ideas? Now, the man is, and if I mispronounce his surname, somebody can, you know, come and kick the dunny door down, but it's Stephen Premutico. And he started the restaurant booking service, Dimmy. Now, I find that quite amazing because he recently sold it to TripAdvisor for a reported $25 million.
Now, is this guy an Australian?
He was born, I think, either Greece or Italy.
I'm sorry. What I should have asked you is this an Australian company?
Oh, yes. Sorry,
yeah, okay.
Yes, Dimmy is.
Right. And yes. He sold it to TripAdvisor for $25 million.
Supposedly. And it was when he sold it, it was supposedly taking 20% of all restaurant bookings in Australia. And it negated the problems associated with no shows and the like. Because we have also discussed that, the problems that restaurants have with people making bookings and then not turning up. Well,
yeah.
they take, you know, credit card details, et cetera, et cetera. They take deposits, they take all that, and they collect the money if they don't turn up. So that's the idea behind it. But anyway, he's moved on to a new app now, Me and You, which according to him is eliminating two of the more awkward elements of dining, getting the waiter's attention and splitting the bill. Now, I've never found either of those things insurmountable. I must admit, I think I may have told you before about the wonderful restaurant in London that was very friendly, but the service wasn't very efficient, called Cheng Guang Q, and it got written up in their good food guide. And they said the waiter was so friendly that when I waved to him, he smiled and waved back. I've never sort of had that problem. But anyway, so the Me and You app lets users view menus and order and pay for their food via the phone.
So I'm coming to Ian Hewitson's new restaurant, and I don't want your waiters to talk to me or to take my order. So I go on to this app.
No, I think what you do is you don't want to be waving around at the waiter trying to get their attention.
Right.
But what a strange idea. But anyway,
it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about this. I mean, you know, what would I know? I've only been in the business 50 years. I've decided I know nothing anymore. But does it mean that sort of a la Uber and Deliveroo, they cook the food when you order it over the phone, and it just sits there waiting for you?
How do they get it back? I mean, I'm just thinking of the logistics behind the scenes.
Well, that's exactly right.
How do you get that information back to the restaurant and all this sort of stuff?
Well, in this day and age, it comes through on a computer. Well, you know, like when you're using Uber and Deliveroo, you have a special machine for that.
Yeah,
that's sitting in the kitchen, so that's right. But I mean, I just worry about if you're ordering it on the phone, you're ordering your food and you're paying for it. Well, one, it's good that it's being paid for, but two, do you then cook it straight away and wait for the people to turn up? So
yeah.
I sort of worry about that. But, you know, it sort of does bring back the thing that, you know, we've also discussed, is everyone's so obsessed with speed in restaurants these days. They don't want to sit around. They don't want to be there for the night. But one thing that amazes me, because, as I said, I know nothing about anything anymore, I've decided, because he's got some big-name backers, including Neil Perry,
yeah,
the new owners of the Rockpool chain, Facebook Managing Director Will Easton, and what I found interesting, Uber Australia co-founder Mike Abbott.
Yep,
that's amongst others. And soft launch just in Sydney. I get the impression. And it's only a couple of months ago, it has processed over $500,000 in transactions already.
Gosh. Well, there you go. What do you and I know?
Well, see, that's... Well, I think I've said that about 19 times since my discussion.
Yeah,
because I know nothing. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how it progresses. But with Dimmy, he certainly got the runs on the board, so we shall see. Yeah. But the other idea that I saw, which I think really sounds wonderful, it's not a commercial enterprise at this stage, but I think it could be. Kaylee Chu, who will soon embark on a 150th LinkedIn lunch, shared meals with people she met via the networking platform. And the aim is to have lunch with successful people, all of them strangers, to improve her professional and personal capacity. That's her words, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think this sounds quite fascinating. Yeah, she takes them out to lunch. I hope she pays, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she's a business development manager, and she contacts dozens of business people asking if they would mind if she picks their brains over lunch.
How does this go from here? I see that, you know, she's putting out a book or something, but apart from putting out the book or the video or whatever,
how do you make it commercial?
How do you make it commercial?
Well, you would think that what you could do is have a small group of people, and one of them would be the guest.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people would be there to pick their brains. So you'd have to get really interesting people, and you presumably have to give them a few bucks. But that's just my thought. But, I mean, she's lunched with most amazing people. Tansel Ali, 4-time Australian memory champion, and the one that I would love to lunch with, Ray Malone from Crash Repair Group AMA. Now, I'd find him fascinating. You know, here's a man who left school at 9 and took over a company with $20 million in debt, and the company's now worth $700
million.
Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about me sitting there fawning on him because he's made so much money. I'm meaning, what a fascinating story. Leaving school at 9, he was an orphan, left school at 9, and he had turned that company around amazing. Now, he would be fascinating. He would be fascinating. So you're not talking about going to these lunches which you have, you know, the business lunches where you have a guest speaker and 200 guests. You're talking about actually a lunch where you really are almost one-on-one. Anyway, and she's got a book, 108 Lunches with Strangers.
So the book's
now,
out, is it?
I haven't read it yet, but
right.
It's on the list to buy,
okay.
I must admit.
When I read yours, I thought, yeah, I'd have a look at that. I would. Because
it's
always interesting it's always interesting to hear what successful people have got to say about how they got where they got.
Yeah, she said that she started it basically because she was very shy. And she found that she had trouble, you know, communicating with people, and this has changed her life around. So I think that sounds fascinating. I'm not saying that she was even saying that she's turning into a commercial enterprise, but it's one of those things you think to yourself, there is something there.
We digress. Maybe this is a question that you might have to think about and come back to me. A lunch guest that you would really, apart from the chap that you just mentioned, is there one particular lunch or dinner guest that you would love to sit down and have a nice meal and a nice conversation with?
Anthony Bourdain. Sadly, he died.
Like now, but I should have prefaced it by saying they've got to be alive.
They're not allowed to be a cook.
No, they can be a cook. They can be a cook, but they have to be alive.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, I had quite a few lunches with Keith Floyd. He was hilarious. He was a very funny man, but he's also dead, so I'm not doing too well.
No, it's 2 out of 2.
I'm not doing too well.
Well, get back to me about that one.
And I'll come back to you with that one.
I would be concerned if you...
Johnny Cash is dead, isn't he?
Yeah, whatever you do, don't choose me, because, God, I don't want to die yet.
Well, Johnny Cash is dead as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Johnny Cash is dead. Okay.
I'm not doing too bloody
You're
well here,
You're not doing
am I?
Too well at all, no.
Well, that's what happens when you get to 70, mate. All your friends are disappearing.
It's a good question, though, isn't it? What's one particular person you'd like to sit down and have a meal with to learn from their experiences in life?
Well, as I said, Ray Malone, I would have loved to have been there. I think he sounds fascinating.
Tell me about your recipe this week, because it's got Brie and I going, wow, let's try this one.
Yes, it sounds weird.
Yeah, it does.
Sear and sit roast leg of lamb, and I think if I remember rightly, because I've made it over the years, I think it came from the New York Times, but I'm not, I haven't got a note of that, but I think it did.
Righto.
And it's a fascinating way to cook lamb, and I must admit, I was surprised as hell when it worked, I have to be honest. Now, you preheat the oven to 230 degrees fan forced. Now, I know it's hot, but that's all right. And you put needles from two rosemary stalks on a board with three plumped, peeled garlic cloves and 75 grams of diced pancetta. Chop the lot very finely and put in a bowl of sea salt, freshly ground pepper, half a cup of olive oil and the juice of one lemon. And then you place 1 by 2.7 to 3 kilo leg of lamb in a heavy bottom baking tray. Don't have the tray too huge, you know. You don't want it too tight with the lamb, but you don't want huge amounts of space. And you put it fat side up and cut three deep slashes crossways into the meat of the lamb itself. You rub in the rosemary mixture, including in the slashes. Add 1 cup of packet beef stock. Now, in the pan itself, not over the top, and cook in the oven for 20 minutes. Then you turn off and leave for 3 hours. And you do not open the oven door to have a peek.
Okay.
It won't work.
Righto.
And you remove the lamb and loosely cover with kitchen foil. Add 1 cup of white wine, 200 grams, diced canned tomatoes, and along with some more stock if it's dried out. And boil rapidly to reduce. And you carve the lamb and strain over the sauce. Now, the interesting thing, that lamb will come out about medium rare. So if you want it cooked a bit more than that,
mm-hmm.
you just leave it for, you know, another half hour or so. But it is the most beautiful, moist leg of lamb you'll ever have in your life.
So when you take it out of the oven and you add the extra, the white wine and the 200
can... That's just make some sauce, yeah.
Okay. You then boil, you says boil rapidly to reduce. You obviously put that on the stove and you do that on
yep,
the stove.
Yep,
okay,
yep,
right
yep.
On.
And then strain it
right.
if you like. You don't have to strain it, but you can if you like. And you can add other things to it too. You know, you can add some more herbs. You can add
some wine.
Add some butter at the end to, you know, make it completely unhealthy and then mm-hmm. you can be fine. Anthony Bourdain would be proud of me.
It sounds sensational.
Yeah,
look,
it's worth a shot, mate. It really is, because, as I said, I was surprised when it worked. And it's fun. It's fun, and it comes out beautiful and moist.
I'm keeping that recipe. We're going to try that one out
good on,
on
yeah.
the weekend. You've got something before you go.
And the other thing that you like about it, there's no bloody veggies with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You can serve any veggies you like, of course.
It would be nice to have some veggies with that.
Now, just before I go.
Do you think chips would go with it, Bree?
don't chips go with everything?
Oh, they do.
Well, McDonald's tell me they do.
Particularly mine.
Now, before I go, a would-be thief in South London got more than he bargained for when he leapt over a 2-metre fence and knocked over a beehive.
Ooh.
The owner, hearing the commotion, came out to discover a swarm of bees attacking the burglar who was last seen running down the road, pursued by a swarm of angry bees. The owner didn't report it to the police. What a nice guy. As he said, natural justice has been served. As an added bonus, the quantity of honey harvested was up that week. So they obviously got their rocks off on chasing the burglar.
Oh, I bet they did.
And they produced more honey.
Yeah, I being a an owner of beehives myself, I had a couple of beehives. And
the honey's beautiful.
It is, it is absolutely beautiful.
We had a waiter worked for us for years who had his own hive. This is way before it became trendy. This is, I'm talking years ago now. And we always had at least one honey dessert on using his honey. It was just beautiful. Really was.
As I say to my servants of a weekend, can you just go down and get the honey out of the hive for me now?
Oh, you've got Jeeves working for you.
Yeah, I've got as a bloke stayed with me in my guest house many years ago. He's from Sonoma. He owned a huge vineyard in Sonoma, and he came out from the vineyard. We had a vineyard. We had 8 acres of vines, right? And he came back from his walk around the vineyard and he said, "Who tends your vines?" I said, "Oh, we look after the vines." "So you do the pruning?" I said, "Yeah, we've got a group of people that, you know, I've got people that work with me and we do the pruning." And then he said, "You know what you need? You need some of them Mexicans." "We've got those Mexicans," he said. "They work 24 hours a day, and they work for just about nothing." You need
that
something.
Was a French accent. That was a
was
Peter
it? Sorry,
accent, wasn't
sorry.
Parlez
vous français. Okay.
Well, in this country, without being racist whatsoever, you know, huge numbers of vineyard workers who come, and they come in groups and prune and do all that, and they're Cambodian or Vietnamese in Victoria, so. And I'm not saying they work for nothing these days.
Of course,
they get paid well, but my God, they're efficient. And they get into that vineyard and they do it.
And they care about the job.
Well, that's right. Australians don't want to do it. It's
no,
the old story, isn't it?
True, it is.
But anyway, well, mate, we don't have any Mexicans. Maybe we need Mexicans.
Some of them bloody Mexicans. Give your website a plug, please, Mr. Hewitson.
Okay, mate. I'm not around next week, but I will talk to you the following.
Okay, mate. All right. That's Ian Hewitson. Thanks, mate. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, see ya.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Yeah. Ian Hewitson, he's got his website. It's food for 102, and just Google Ian Hewitson and it will come up. It's got some great recipes on there. Is it time? Yeah.